Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your boy Tristan Mack Wilds coming to you with a new episode of Guys Next Door. But these aren't your regular episode. These are what we're calling our essential episodes. Yes. So you're not tuned into the wrong place. Make sure you tune in every Monday, just like we do. If you're here, we appreciate you. You know, we've been rocking for almost four years now, man, and you guys are still here, so we appreciate you guys. You know, make sure that you like, make sure that you guys subscribe, make sure that you guys, if you're listening to this on Apple Music, make sure that you hit that like button, you know, give us a nice little 5 stars or whatever. You know, we need the validation. We appreciate the validation. But all in all, these next couple of weeks, all of us are coming to you, giving you guys our favorite episodes over the span of these last 3 years, so that you guys can get a feel or just remember these old times with us. You know, it's always good to kind of look back every now and then. So without further ado, let's get into this first one. Okay, so the first one for me is episode 27, Keep It Butte, featuring our girl Star Brim. Now, understand, it's hard to get Mouse Jones to sweat. It's hard to put him in a corner. But when I tell you Star came in and put this man in a box, woo, dog, you had to be there to get the whole vibe. But you guys can definitely hear it during the entire conversation. But she gives us a little bit of the story, a little background of where she's been, how she's been, and what's been going on. But just peep how she got Mouse on the ropes. Just pay attention.
Don't pay me because you didn't come to the club.
Yo, damn!
Yo, you holding shit against me from 13 years ago.
No, from 1 year ago.
All right, either way.
Wow.
It was
In the age of social media, 1 year is really a long time.
First of all, it counts because I just did like three bookings. I would have been home.
Wow. I would have came.
But you didn't come. Would have, could have, should have.
I would have came.
Wow.
But you didn't. Why? All right, but now I'm going to come. I'm coming to all of them now.
Are you going to throw some money on me?
I didn't say that.
Say it out your mouth.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Let's take baby steps.
No.
I'm
going to
get there.
I'm grown. I ain't taking no baby steps.
Is you with it or you ain't?
Like, we have to take baby steps.
I am grown.
You cannot step in those.
This is a 6.5.
I know this man's space.
No, it's not.
You ain't got no tissue in the front?
No, it's no tissue.
You're not wearing double socks?
No.
All right.
This nigga.
You lucky I'm wearing socks. You know I'm some gym.
I know. I was about to say guy knees.
I didn't even put lotion on my ankles. Like, look at this.
I mean, you said you was guy knees. That's why I let it rock.
Don't come for me. I'm just telling you, just, don't come for me.
Look. I'm here on bar time. I've been supposed to die. All right? If I go out, I'm supposed to go out.
Let's not talk about it. Let's be about it. Because I ain't trying to
jail. I don't even
not
know
right
what jail.
So if we're going to do something, let's just let it happen in the future.
Uh-huh.
Allegedly.
I don't even know. Alleged or Lee. I don't know neither one of them.
You know them two people?
I don't know them people at all. Shit. So now that you're home, how's the readjustment period amongst all the lights and everybody in your business?
Yeah,
and all that
I'm about
shit?
To say, do you still feel like you're readjusting?
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like I'm readjusting. I feel like people's in my business more, but it's not affecting me as much. Like, I feel like before jail, it used to affect me. How people felt, how people seen me. You know, I used to just get mad. I used to always want to fight. You said you follow me. So, you know, I used to always be like, pop out, location. You know, I used to.
It got my heart.
Yeah, I used to, you know, I used to ring bitches' doorbells.
You know, now, shit like that get my heart. Yeah, what? He, you want, he, she fine? And she fight? Oh, my God.
Like, the two now F's. It was just like, you feel
she
like,
want me to hold her gun? Yes! Oh my God!
See, I had your heart, but not your pockets. Which
damn.
In my life.
In 2018, they not
pay my bills. I cannot quote Con Edison and be like, I got his heart.
Yo, there's mad niggas in, there's mad niggas in jail right now that because they gave a girl their heart. Like, what you mean? Like,
and that's where they fucked up at. Niggas, I'm talking about your pockets. I didn't want the heart. See, that's where they fucked up at.
Damn.
Giving damn the heart away. Fuck is wrong.
Sometimes you. This is why you don't meet your Instagram crushes, y'all. This is exactly why. Let this be an audible lesson to everybody. Keep your Instagram crush on Instagram.
So I just feel like basically now, I care less. You know, like before I used to care, before I used to pop out, before I used to sit there and everything used to affect me. I'ma still pop out if you here. Like, you feel me? You have to be here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For it to like be a situation. It's not me coming to you. I used to come to you. Like, I don't give a fuck where you at. Like, bitch, I fly. Like, you feel me? I will fly for now, a flight, bitch. I will catch a flight.
I was about to say, I think I hate people. I hate the whole idea of being jail institutionalized,
James,
and all
move
that.
You don't your tight ass jeans. Goddamn way when we try to.
Nah, these are better than the
no
ones.
No, the
before.
Fuck they not.
Those are better than the
nigga,
ones.
Nigga, I could see the blood traveling through his capillaries, bro, and his calves.
My nigga's whole thigh was out in the other one.
Nigga,
bro.
It's the same. It's the same jean in a different color.
I don't think so, bro. Anyway, anyway.
No, I was gonna say. I hate your vest.
I hate
your vest. This look like you look like you dressed up
not
and Saved
lie,
by
the
Bell.
Jesus. I hate the idea or the term institutionalized, but it's a real thing, right?
Wait. Don't muddle.
No.
Let this vest get the smoke because he wore this fucking vest proudly in his motherfucker.
I'm just trying to figure out why.
James, you know good and well.
No,
you're not allowed to talk. Podcast,
six episodes. No, it's how many?
Yeah,
how many
six
has it been?
And not five.
It's been like it's been
seven
like,
episodes. It's been we like, gotta up
I'm about
it because she
like
hit
four.
Well, he's got three. He still got three to
yeah,
go.
Yeah,
He still got three to go. But so you can't defend yourself.
No,
just
he
no.
needs to though.
All right, go ahead. Get, one of these
okay,
microphones.
One? That one was on. That one
is this one on?
I believe.
Say something. You hear Matt?
No, I don't hear nothing.
Yeah,
I was rushing. At the house.
Okay, so
and you added a piece.
On?
Usually, when you rush, you forget something. Nick said, "Oh
no,
shit!
Like,
I got 10 minutes. Let me throw on this."
Listen, first of all, let me hear him because I
so
kind of like him.
I didn't have a iron. Like, I couldn't like take time to iron my clothes. So I was like, "Let me just throw on this vest real quick, kind of you know make it look."
Why did you buy the vest?
Okay, wait. Just to let you know, real bitches like me don't even care about the iron. I don't even know how to use one.
A word?
Yeah, I never ironed nothing in my life.
I iron.
Talk about it.
I don't think I got an iron.
I iron all your clothes.
I
iron every single item.
What else?
What else?
My shit with the starch. With the starch, like.
Okay, what else though?
What you mean?
What else would you do?
Whatever you want.
Like what?
Star, I'm the wrong one. Like you playing
that money because you didn't want.
Oh
damn.
My god! What you want my little podcast check for?
I got bills, mother.
Nigga, gonna take my podcast
nigga,
check, my trap karaoke
I got bills.
Check. Golly! I can make eggs. I got a mean omelet
I'm
game.
I'm not even an egg fan.
Damn! My cereal game is fire.
What kind of cereal?
Or like I make cereal
what's
from scratch for you.
What's your favorite cereal?
Oh, I got riboflavin.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I got
what?
Red Five.
No,
that's what make the cereal. I make cereal
oh,
from
okay.
scratch.
No, but what kind of cereal is your favorite?
I don't eat dairy, so like cereal's out of it for me.
But you can have almond milk.
That shit nasty.
Almond
okay,
milk
so
is
you
amazing.
Can't cook.
Who said I can't cook?
Bread. You only cook eggs and cereal. That doesn't.
So that's cooking.
No.
See, this is what I be getting mad at. Y'all don't be listening, and then y'all make y'all own shit up. I can't cook would indicate that I can't make nothing.
Is this on?
Yeah, it's on.
There you go.
Are you yelling at me?
Nah, what it is I'm just passionate. I can't hear you.
Are
tap
you
the mic? Because I don't have no headphones. He here.
I definitely hear it. Yep. There we go. Yep.
Are you yelling at me?
I mean, I got a little passion.
Calm down. Thank you.
You're watching When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
Mac, ask your damn question you was asking.
Oh,
before
my
James,
God.
Before James Vest took the attention out of the room. Fucking hate
I
that
almost
vest.
Forgot what it was.
Wait, time out. Give me a second.
Oh, I hate it too. I just keep hating the vest.
Now, I didn't know it was a double material vest.
Yes, it's silky and a back.
It's silky. I'm glad you said silky
like, yeah,
and not silk.
No, it's silky.
Because it's not silk.
It's not silk, it's silky.
No, but
wow.
It been the front of the vest.
At least it matches his sneakers. His sneakers is black and it matches.
Why did you buy the vest? Like, you know, like when you be in the shop, you be like, oh, all right, I like this. Let me get this.
It wasn't supposed to necessarily go with.
So what did you get the vest to go with? No. You keep saying you know. I don't know because I would never buy
like,
this.
Like, was you supposed to go to a wedding or something?
Okay.
In the vest look like TV static.
Oh, shit.
You got too much dip on your chill.
Could you cook? Could you cook?
Can I cook?
Yes.
I absolutely can cook.
Oh.
I'm from Texas.
Oh, Texas. Oh, so you could cook. Oh, okay.
That's fine by me. He's not my competition.
He is.
No, he's not.
Right now.
You're missing what I'm saying.
He's definitely your competition.
Look at me.
I'm looking.
He's not my competition. We play for two different leagues.
He's competition. Oh, what?
Yeah, like we in two different leagues. Oh. So I'm not worried.
Damn.
What you want to do? What you want to do?
I try anything once. When it involves you, I'll try anything once.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. That's.
So what do you want to do?
My spirit.
Oh, we ain't never had nothing like this happen in a goddamn neighborhood.
This is amazing.
This is not supposed to happen like this.
It's my neighborhood now. Flossie, you heard?
You heard?
Benassi.
Shout out to Bear.
Shout out to Bear.
I love Bear. That's my nigga out there.
That's my son. Yeah, I grew up with him.
I was going to say, I hate the idea of generalizing people saying, you know, about being institutionalized, but it sounds like, do you feel like being in jail has made you grow anything?
Of course. Like, honestly, I didn't even feel like I was institutionalized until people told me when I started telling them how I feel about stuff. Like, yo, you know that's institutionalized? Like, you know, but it made me grow so much. Little things that used to get to me on Instagram, like I said, didn't get to me no more because I was in jail. Mm-hmm. How I feel about certain things, like, you know, just being calmer and everything is because I was in jail. Me having a little bit like a closure of the drama that I went on with my mom when I was young, hubby, and, you know, an alcoholic and abusive alcoholic at that time, and me realizing, like, why did I turn blood? I found that out while going to jail. Like, you understand? I didn't know that my sisters went through the same abuse as me because we're 10 years apart. By the time I'm 10, they're 20. They're not even in the house as me. You understand? So I didn't even watch them grow up. I didn't know that. Like, this whole time, my whole life, from 12 years old, well, before that, from 6 years old, because I turned blood at 12, but from 6 years old to basically 27, I'm thinking I'm the only one that was getting hit and abused. I didn't even know this whole time my sisters was going through it too. So it wasn't only me. I wasn't only the one getting picked on or bullied. You know, it wasn't just me. It was everybody. It was all of us. Like, you know, so certain things like that, going to jail helped me. Like, honestly, I would not take it back. Like, I would definitely do it again.
Mm. Especially you would go to jail again?
Yeah. She would do the situation.
That's why I was asking. Listen, you would say you go to jail again, or you would live the same life?
I would live the same life again, but I definitely will go to jail again. I don't mind sitting up for certain reasons. Like, you feel me? Like,
you heard?
When it comes to certain reasons, principles that I feel like won't be broken, yeah, I don't mind going back.
Oh, that's
like, you feel me? Like, it is what it is. You feel me? So
I ain't afraid to go back.
It is what it is. But definitely going to jail has definitely made me grow, like, you know, mentally, and made me calm down. Like, I was more of a firecracker. Now I don't be giving a fuck. Like, I really, before I used to care, and I used to be like, I don't give a fuck, but I really did. Now I really don't give a fuck. Like, you could pass out right here, and I would just be like, Alex, so are we eating? Like, you know, I really would not care. Like, really not care. And a good thing is a bad thing, but it's like, to me, it works for me because it makes me less stressed to not give a fuck. You know, certain things it might be bad for, like, damn, you should care, but it's like, that's not good for me. What's good for you might not be good for me. You understand? And for me, not caring is a good thing because
it keeps everybody safe.
It gets too, you know, I'm an emotional person, so it gets too much.
Okay, that's dope.
Why are you looking at me like, I'm looking at you. You right looking at me?
Listen, I don't break grills. Like, you feel me? You grilling me?
I'm not going to break my evil.
Like, the fuck? I'm
and
from
I got
the street,
nice
motherfucker.
Eyes. So, like,
you
I can
me?
Look. We
All right,
look.
Listen,
we,
you
we
grilling
look.
Me? I'm going to grill you. Period.
I wasn't
okay?
grilling
you. Grilling
I
me? I'm grilling you back.
I wasn't even
don't
grilling
me.
You.
Don't grill me. I'm going to grill you.
I wasn't grilling. I was looking at the person that was talking to me.
All right, well, I'm looking back.
And then I'm fine with you looking back.
All right, I'm cool with it looking back either. We could look all day. What's up?
That's fine.
Okay,
Mac,
okay, go ahead. So I, you know, I don't like
that.
I don't like to,
like, when you blink like that. It's like a long
Jesus
blink.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you want to pick these eyelashes because they can
fly.
I forgot.
Triggered.
You broke it. You not staring no more, boo boo.
I was good.
Get comfortable, motherfucker. Because I'm fine. You see, I've moved the mic up.
So yeah, I don't like to talk about women's age, so I'll say you're probably, you're 25 plus, correct?
Nigga, I just said I'm 28.
Okay. She said she's 20.
She said it. I heard it. You don't pay attention. Clearly, I did pay attention to the listener of this podcast.
Relax.
Obviously, he's not paying attention to me now.
Yes, I am.
That's crazy.
What you mean? You said 27. Look at you.
You about to fall for it. Look, she done came in a goddamn neighborhood and tore shit up.
I came fucking with you.
All right. I was just asking a question. I said 25 plus because I don't like to talk about age. You could be how it goes.
Why is that? Can somebody explain that to me?
I feel like you can't ask an old person their age.
I don't ask any. I don't ask.
Alex, why we can't ask women their age? As a young 26-year-old woman.
I'm about to start telling people, don't ask me nothing.
I am not old. So
I didn't say you were. I just said you were 20. I just said you were 20. Christ. I just said you were.
You might be my age. You're
in
your 30s, right?
I'm 30. Oh. I'm 30. My toe is just in the pool.
Splash.
Shatik's so old.
Shatik, you was on 106 in Park. You old.
Thanks.
Anybody that was on 106, and I'm not talking about new 106. I'm not talking about. No, I'm talking about when it mattered.
AJ and Free.
Yeah,
AJ
and Free. I'm talking about AJ Free. It was AJ Free and Shatik.
You was young then.
Wow. You was young then, my nigga.
Wow.
You were a baby then, though.
Nigga, think about who was on 106 Park with you. It was you, Genuine.
Yo, you gotta relax. You gotta relax.
Yeah, I read it. Like, yo, you was there. X was promoting like Grand Champ.
Yo.
You want me to get him?
Please get me.
I got you, bloody.
Please get me. Please.
Got you some money?
Oh, huh?
Got you some money?
What's your cash at?
Lila. 13333.
All right.
But I don't care about the cash app. Like, I like money in my hand.
She's like cash.
Yeah. How much you got on you?
That don't matter how much I got on me. It matters how much I'm going to give you.
No, it matters how much you got on you because that's how much I want.
You got to take that to the dumb niggas. I'm stupid. I'm not dumb.
Damn.
Like, there's a difference.
I'm fucking up. Where the dumb niggas at?
I don't know.
Put me in their
probably in Staten Island.
Wow. Oh. Don't disrespect. You Long Island bitch. Not disrespect you, Long Island wine dance ass bitch. Relax.
You didn't have to bring a wine dance. Now that was a low blow, Mac. I can't control where I was born at. I don't fuck with Long Island. I can't control where I was born at. God damn it. Y'all was some. Where was that? I think me and Charlamagne was talking on live or some shit. And you know when you on live, everybody from both. Party jump in, and so he asked me about Long Island. I said, I don't give a fuck. I was just born there.
That's why I don't like going on live with anybody because I ain't trying to make nobody steal my shine.
They can never steal your shine.
Yes, they can. Get my followers now. You ain't getting my fucking followers.
How many followers you got? Yo, you went. I remember.
Okay, so let me tell y'all how real the hate is. Okay, so I went to jail. I had 200,000 followers. I came home to 600,000 followers. So that means
400.
About 400,000 people followed me while I was in jail.
Mm.
That mean y'all only like seeing people when they down. Like, who the fuck? I'm never following somebody while they down. You don't realize the same shit happened with Nipsey once he died. It's like everybody's want to follow him. Now his records is being played. Now he's getting. It's like people only want to see you when you're dead. Or when you're in jail, it's like nobody really has real love.
They only appreciate you when they don't have the opportunity to have you.
That's not appreciation. That's not even appreciation. That's clout chasing. That's just being down with what you want to be down with. Because how the fuck are you appreciating me and I'm gone? Like, that don't matter no more. I'm in jail.
It's still good content.
I'm in jail.
It's still good content, though.
Ain't nobody sitting here sending me no nothing. Ain't none of y'all hitting me up like, oh, yo, where can I send her some money? Where can I send her some mail? Where can I send this? Y'all not doing none of that, but y'all following 400,000 people.
Yeah, people,
while I'm in fucking jail and I'm posting like one picture a month.
I think
that's weird. It's not even like it's y'all getting content to follow. You understand? It's not like, okay, everything was being posted still. Every day I'm posting something. No, it's once a month a fucking jail picture go up there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what y'all 400,000 people did.
I think the good part
y'all can suck my dick.
True, but the positive part is you could flip that into loyal fans
listen,
when you come home.
Thank you everybody, all y'all bald headed bitches and crusty little bitches, you know, for following me while I was in jail and to still follow me because now I'm making money off y'all bitches. But you know, thank you, I appreciate it. I wasn't
going to
crusty lip bitches. Yeah, bald headed hoes.
I have no problem with bald headed hoes. It's a crusty lip. I don't like them.
Oh,
I hate the bald headed hoes. They unappreciative.
But bald heads, they can flip
it.
What if they got the finger waves?
They unappreciative.
Yo,
I don't got time for no unappreciative hoes.
I can't.
But listen, thank y'all for following me. Thank y'all for supporting. You know, subscribe to my podcast. Do something productive now with your time. You know, now you got to, you know, you could see stuff being posted every day now. You know, so continue keeping it view every Wednesday. Thank you, hoes. I appreciate it.
Oh, my heart.
The my following heart. Paid off.
So now what's the long play for Starburn? Now you home, you got the number one podcast.
Yep. Yeah,
you so nosy.
I gotta know who I'm about to spend my life with.
Wow.
Wow. I'm not spending my life with your broke ass. You got a broke mentality. Not that your pockets is broke, but you just so broke in your head.
Because like, I keep like, the money inside my pocket?
Yes.
That's literally the complete opposite.
I'm not feeling it. Okay. I'd rather look over here. What's up?
He not spending no money either.
How you know?
This is my best friend. He way worse than me.
Give me an opportunity to find out.
No.
Damn.
No.
So what's up? Would you come to the club?
Come to the club, and I'm definitely throwing money. What's good?
See?
It's going to hurt. That nigga throwing quarters. That shit going to hurt.
Listen.
That shit going to hurt.
Listen, 50 Cent came one time, right, and threw like a big stack in my face, and it hit me so hard it stung, and I'm like, throw it on the side. Because you hit this side, boo boo. Let's get this side now.
I would never play with your contour. I would never do that.
Listen, I don't give a fuck, boo boo. I don't care how you throw it, when you throw it. Listen, I don't give a fuck. I done had niggas throw big stacks. I'm all right with that. I done had niggas hit me in the head. I'm okay with that. I done got hit in the head with far worse. You hit me with some money? Let me turn the other side of my head.
Anyway. So you said something that stuck out to me. So you said you came home at 12.
I turned blood at 12.
Yeah. So what did
I was
that,
young. I was it was before right. you supposed to.
And you typically don't
not
hear
same.
That from
no,
girls.
It was the same.
Like even from I was 13. So yeah, but for girls it's different.
It's different, yeah.
So
yeah.
With girls
I had to do the same thing y'all had to do most likely. I don't know if y'all shot it with 5 or 3, but I shot mine's with 3.
With 5.
Okay, see, wow. That's different. I got jumped mad times before then, but when I sat here and really came home, I shot it with 3, and then that set had got faded, and I went to another set, and I had to shoot it all over, even though it was same thing. It was still burnt, you feel me? But that's just what they wanted to do, especially because I wasn't giving them no pussy, and niggas be tight. You know, it is what it is. So I had a broken foot at that time, and I had to shoot it all over with 3 again. But that's basically how I came home when I was 12.
And what? I guess I'm trying to get to the mindset of
why?
What is a 12-year-old Star Brim seeing that
you gotta realize at 12 years old a girl doesn't even know how to wash her pussy correctly.
That's a fact.
Like, you understand, like, I didn't have no mind.
There's 32 like, year olds like, that don't know how to wash their pussy properly as well. Like,
pH balance be all off.
At 12 I didn't know what I was thinking.
pH balance sound like
yes.
It's like, an F like, balance.
Like at 12 I didn't know what I was thinking, you understand, like I was just going through what I was going through at home, and me later on finding out like, all right, this is maybe what set me into being in the streets. You understand? I was probably so angry at home, and it's like I couldn't beat my mom up. Let me go beat these other bitches up. Like, you understand? I was already fighting in the streets. I already went to so many different elementary schools. I went to 5 high schools, 5 junior high schools. I've been to a lot of suspension schools. So I was already in the street young at 12, you know, fighting, cutting, doing whatever the fuck I was doing. I didn't care about life. I didn't give a fuck if I lived or died. I'm getting my ass beat at home for no reason. I don't even know why I'm getting beat. You understand? So you think that I'm gonna give a fuck? I don't care about life. I didn't, for a long time, I had to reach, I think I was like 21, 22, when I started really caring if I lived or died. Mm. And then when I went to jail, it went away.
How many siblings do you have?
I have 3.
3.
I have 2 older sisters and 1 younger sister. But my 2 older sisters, they wasn't like, they're so older that we wasn't raised in the same household.
I was about to say, what was the house like growing up?
Yeah, they wasn't there. Like, they, if I'm 10, they're 20. So you feel me? They wasn't there. They left at 16. I didn't realize until going to jail, I went to feds. They asked for letters for people that love you to go to the judge to basically talk about your character and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So I'm reading through the letters one day, and because one day my lawyer asked me, he's like, why the fuck did you turn blood? You was never on welfare. You was spoiled. You went on family vacations. You did this, you did that. What the fuck made you, you know, go in the street? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even remember back then. Like, I was, I was so young. I don't even remember why. So then one day I'm reading through the letters and I see my sister letter. And she basically says, like, I just want my sister to forgive me for leaving her in the household. Because I knew that once I left, it was going to be on her now to receive, you know, getting hit and stuff like that. This whole time growing up, I never even knew my other sister.
All right, so this next one is another one of my favorites, of course. It's episode 46, Next Election, featuring Ryan Leslie. Now, understand, anytime you have somebody of the caliber of Ryan Leslie on this episode, on an episode or anything, you want to get the gems. And not only was he dropping word after word after word after word, he was dropping gems, just giving us a little background of how he began in this business. So without further ado, here it is.
So in between the giving the records to New Edition, right, producing, and you said there was a large gap in between.
Yeah, it was a large
getting
gap.
Getting to your moment.
Right.
What's in that journey?
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, I spent a great deal of time really just studying the game, you know? So I think one of the greatest takeaways from that time period was, here's a kid that went to Harvard in his teens, came out of school, had a Harvard degree in the music business, and really, when I would be at home or in my studio, I'd be like, hey, man, I know everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Nobody could tell me anything. I'm advanced, I'm an intellectual, I'm smart. I remember Tommy sat me down one time, and he said, look, you know, you might be smart in everything, but until you're in a place where other people want to be where you are, then in the music industry, you don't have a point of view. I said, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, you might have an opinion, whatever, but I actually don't, until you're in a place where I want to be, I'm not interested in your point of view. And he said, I'm not saying that to stifle any of your creativity or anything that you want to say or whatever. But I would also offer that as some counsel to you, that you should take advice from people who are in a place or a position that you would like to be. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, a lot of times, and, you know, this is important, you know, for folks that are listening, if you got a team or a crew around you, and they, you might have a peanut gallery around you, you know, people that love you, yeah, they're going to have advice about, and you should probably take their advice about how life is making you feel. But in terms of taking advice in terms of business strategy or in terms of the steps that need to be taken to get you out of a situation, you need to get that advice and you need to get that counsel from someone who's in a situation that you would like to be in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had all these ideas about social media. I had all these ideas that
even
I had,
then.
Even then. And I had all these ideas about, like, you know, one of my resident advisors at Harvard was in the business school, and he was a student of the music industry, loved the music industry, was the biggest fan of Teddy Riley, gave me my first ASR-10. Mm-hmm. I was on academic probation 3 times at Harvard, and he every single time advocated on my behalf to the administrative board. And he said, look, Ryan, you know, the music industry is going to be unsustainable as long as they continue to employ the same business practices. And so you need to be smart in 2 ways. One, any publicly traded music company, you should short them in the stock market. So that was my first foray into. And once again, I'll say, when you have a mentor, when you have somebody that's willing to give you advice, when you have somebody that's willing to point you in the right direction, take their advice, because 9 times out of 10, they actually have some foresight, which you wouldn't actually have because you focus on your music. So if that's what he loves, and he's giving me advice on what he loves, he said one of the first ways to be ahead of this curve and to benefit from this shift economically is to any publicly traded music company, go ahead and short that music company, because they're going to need to completely recalibrate before they can start making money again. And we saw this happening. He predicted it. We saw it happening with the demise of the Jewel case, mm-hmm, and the CD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody with the, you know, all the dope boys that used to come to the barbershop, they had the Bubble Lex with the CD changer. There's no CD changers anymore. No more CDs, right? So with the demise of all of that recorded music and physical products, it took a second. I mean, we're recording this podcast right now in Spotify. Spotify was really one of the greatest catalysts in actually recalibrating the business and economics of the music industry so that we actually could aggregate all of the interest in music to streaming and then start to pay out. And of course, everybody had their issues with how much we're getting paid, et cetera.
True, indeed.
At the same time, though, you know, the record companies have bounced back and they're, you know, they're starting to do, you know, their billions of dollars again, right? And so that was the first piece of the puzzle was Sandy told me, look, and his name was Sandy Green. You can look him up. He's a professor now, a business professor in California. So he told me that. And then second of all, he said, look, you know, the internet is really just going to change the way that music is discovered and distributed. And so as close as you can be to, and as much of a front runner as you can be to that transition, that's also going to bode extremely well for you. So I would go into meetings, marketing meetings, and, you know, just be like, hey, man, you know, how are we doing on our data strategy? And they'd be like, what you talking about?
What data? What
like,
hell?
Can you go back to the studio and make some more beats, man? Like, what you talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
The dates, so, nigga, with the dates with the beats, nigga.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. We got a deadline, you know what I'm saying?
Nigga, our strategy for this album, you know, have some beats, man. Right.
Exactly. So I would come in with all these concepts, and you know, they necessarily, I would say that the response to those concepts was ill received at times,
right.
Mostly because I was the young know-it-all,
right.
Who was at the time in a position that was far different from the position that they wanted to be in.
Did that degree kind of put a did that degree couple with the success with the beat making and being connected to Tommy and Puff, does that at times put like a target on your back in the industry, like them dealing with you in a certain way?
Man, you know, we talked about this a little bit. You know, I had an interview recently with my friends over at the Breakfast Club, and you know, maybe it did. You know, for me though, I would say that I never really had it. You know, in the event that there was a target on my back per se.
Mm-hmm.
I never really noticed it or paid attention to it.
It didn't get in your way.
Yeah,
didn't do its job.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
So to really break down what happened in that gap is one of my friends, Rashid Richmond, called me up and said, "Look, Ryan, I think it's time." And I said, "What you mean? You think it's time?" He's like, "Well, there's a new search engine that's really a front runner to all of the other ones, because there was Alta Vista, there was Yahoo,
Alta Vista.
It was, you know, Bing,
was the
Alta
Vista,
there was
Ask Jeeves,
Ask
one.
Ask Jeeves, yeah. Right?
And there was another one, I can't remember.
Ask Jeeves was wild.
Yeah. Ask Jeeves, you can ask Ray, you can ask whatever.
Right.
The one with the dog. Dog
pile or something? No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
It was there.
Everybody knows there were a bunch of search engines. Mm-hmm. Google at that time was beginning to really blossom, mm-hmm. and be really that front runner. And so
that was the early 2000s.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, 2000s, and then kind of mid 2000s. And so he was like, "Look, you know, there's a way to actually, if you're smart, there's a way to actually manipulate the Google algorithm so that whatever you need to be a top search result can actually be a top search result."
Uh-oh.
And so he said, "Look, you know, I've been looking for a couple of different ways that I can employ this to our benefit. And there's a platform called MySpace where the charts are actually, there are people in the music industry that are starting to pay attention to the charts, and not just the music industry, but actually fans in general start to pay attention to the charts." And so he said, "Look, you know, I think a way that I can actually utilize this hack that I have for Google is, why don't you, you know, tell me somebody that you want to be on the top of the MySpace music charts, and anyone that searches the keyword MySpace, their MySpace music profile will be the number two Google search result." Mm. And so at the time, it was Cassie. I had a record called Me and You. We put it on the MySpace profile.
That joint went crazy.
You keep saying it's regular.
It's calm stunts. It's
like we had this record.
It's like, this one is good, but a gleany little salt. Pow!
Just
me and you.
Yeah.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
That was a record. Come on. You talking to three niggas that was sitting in front of that motherfucking 106 and Park screen like, give me more.
Focus then. What's going on?
And so she just happened to have all of the elements that, including that record, that just made her into really one of the first internet pop stars, right? Mm-hmm. A real bona fide viral sensation. And that was the moment in time where the switch started to happen, where people were like, "Oh, okay, Ryan might actually know what he's talking about when he's talking about all this digital media and social media and internet stuff. And so we actually might want to start listening." And so at that point, you know, I immediately said, whatever I'm doing, I need to put on hold. You know, when you put your net up and a comet actually flies into the net, you don't try to hold it down and be like, "Oh, I'm going to go chase that later." You ride it all the way out. Yeah. And that's exactly what we did with Cassie's pathway and trajectory. And she really became the first internet pop star. And, you know, I wrote and produced that entire album in 13 days. Just in that same Harlem apartment where people saw me actually making all those other records. And man, we needed to do that just because of the momentum of the record. And I think since then we've seen many other cases like that. And I think, you know, maybe Summer Walker, I think Billie Eilish, and I think her brother's her producer, where you have these where you have these, you know, producer artist combinations, and they had happened previously, right? Like Missy and Timberland, you know,
Alicia and Timberland,
Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis,
Jimmy and Jam, and everybody, they talk.
You know what I'm saying? And then let's not forget Dr. Dre, so Dr. Dre, right? And then to actually see this start to happen in a formulaic way in the internet age, you saw how much more quickly someone could go from relatively unknown to, you know, fully famous, right?
When people caught on, if they ever did, when people finally caught on, how crazy was your demand being on that side?
Oh, it was super crazy. And I would say one of the main reasons why I pivoted to that strategy is because during my tenure as just a staff producer, I realized that I, you know, from a timing standpoint, I was at the mercy of the release schedules. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, you know, being impatient, being an innovator, I felt like, you know, a lot of downtime was happening. I mean, I still got records with Jeezy right now. I got I got records that I'm sitting on just because
from back then. That's crazy.
And later on, where, you know, you're just waiting on the release schedule. When's the timing? When is the artist ready? When's the market ready? When's the cultural time? And so I wanted to just have the kind of autonomy that allowed me to just put out records.
We're at four.
That's four.
Autonomy.
Yeah.
That is
Ryan Legend word of the day. We are at four
words. If you,
for those keeping note at home, we are at four. Four.
This is a all-time leading scorer.
You know, right. He's putting up crazy numbers.
Yes, right now, he's cutting up the court. He's dunking on everybody.
I've never seen anybody come to make sure LeBron
and Michael Jordan, he's just doing it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's finding his lane. Make his own shot. Make space.
All-star caliber.
Mama,
there goes that man.
Straight up.
So you're talking about having control over
Over the releases. And so I think that's really what the internet allows you to do. And so right now you can make a record and 2 days later it's
and
on all platforms.
Yeah. Shit, that later that day.
It's on all platforms. And so that really was what was most attractive to me about what we were doing with the Cassie Project. We could put a record on MySpace, put it in that player, anyone could listen to it, anyone could share it, anybody could repost it. And I think that really that entire period was kind of the learning period for me. And it just came to a screeching halt. And I realized, okay, I'm only going to do one record with Cassie. And then once I realized I'm only going to do one record with Cassie, then I had to say, okay, now what do I do? Because I was on a ride and ready to keep going.
Well, for the people at home, what was the screeching halt? What was the moment, or what was the reason for coming to that realization that you're only going to do this one record?
Well, I think, like, it's always the artist's prerogative to decide whether they're going to make another record, and it's the artist's prerogative to decide who they want to make records with, or who they want to collaborate with, who they want to be around, who they want to hang out with. And so I'm definitely not in the business of trying to control that which is outside of my control. I think it's already enough of a formidable task to just be in control, wake up and do what you're supposed to do.
Formidable. We're not even gonna give it no. That wasn't even a three.
That was the mid.
It was in the post.
No, it wasn't a post.
He put. As soon as he felt the body, he turned, spin move,
layup,
and we're back down the court. Formidable.
Easy.
Quick job.
Formidable. Not even try and get that.
To just even keep control
yourself.
Right.
Exactly.
Like people will make New Year's resolutions and
never keep them.
It's all.
We were just talking about
before you came in.
Well, I mean, it's the 8th, and people already like, ooh. I'm gonna start over again next week.
It's like the gym.
I was at my other job talking about this. People, it's like that with podcasting now. Podcasting is the gym because that's so easy to do. So people don't already start and end the podcast right now.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
That's why there's 2.5 billion podcasts right now, because people said, oh, If you
they doing
do
that over there?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that shit.
For me, that's everything in the world. There's so many people, I want to be a chef. They cook, they cut their finger once. Now I don't want to cook no more.
Yeah.
I want to be
or
a rapper.
Or niggas be like, nah, this shit trash.
You know what I mean?
No
like,
salt.
It's there's always those,
no,
the people that
what
come
it is
from
about
a different
being a rapper. Them niggas won't quit, bro.
Yeah,
I mean, niggas be dead ass.
Rappers don't quit.
Niggas
will be 60
I'm not
going to
let you lie like that on this podcast, bro. I don't know what it is about rapping, but niggas never put it down.
You know what it really is?
I'm like,
it's your circle.
No, yeah, the circle.
No, you know what it really be?
No, it's the circle. It's yo. Once you, because you gotta understand, when you're in the studio so much, you hear something so many times.
It kind of
you start
like,
liking
this.
It.
This is definitely trash.
It's
you know what I mean,
right?
Or it's 50 times. You're like, oh, okay. You might have had some here, but you really don't. So your friends like, yo, it's hot. It's really not.
Yeah.
Put me in your friend group. If you got it, if you want
to
send me, I'll tell you.
Yo,
right
I
now.
Jones to be in your friend group so I can tell you.
Because I'm going
to
tell you, let's pick some, a different trade.
Yo, especially niggas our age. No, look, Ryan, I don't mean to hijack your interview. PSA.
Right.
It was 2020.
30
and
up. If you 30.
Right.
If you 30, bro, and the only thing you ever headlined was the local ball.
Not even.
Hang it up, bro.
Yeah, just hang it up.
Hang it up, bro.
Local ball could be all right.
Nah, bro. Hang it up, bro. And I'm not even. I know niggas gonna be like, yo, they hate it. That's cool. Call me whatever you want to call me.
So,
but name the last. Name the last rapper at 30 to pop. Niggas love posting the memes.
Two Chainz.
He was 30 plus, and he was already a rapper.
Right.
He was already a rapper. Like,
he was Titty Boy.
He was Titty Boy.
Right.
You have the N already, nigga. You are still.
I'm trying to think.
J Block, and you are still
somebody.
At
somebody
local.
At 30 to
who?
Really blow up.
Who?
Think about it.
You?
But not even Griselda. They not 30. And then they was
Rick
they
Ross
they
was not 30
before.
When he Rick Ross was not
30.
He was older than 30 when Pushy came out.
He was older than 30.
How old? But he was.
Hold on.
But he was writing for Slip and Slide.
Yeah,
before
he was
that.
Already.
Yeah.
In,
he was already
right,
in the business.
Was in.
Well, no, we talking about brand
talking about
new.
Brand new.
You ain't had no in.
30.
And you just pop. You 30,
yeah,
bro. Don't nobody want to be a 30-year-old.
That's a get a trade.
Get a trade.
Don't start no podcast. Don't try and go to the league. Get a job.
Get a job. Get
or
a
get
trade.
Or like
start
we're gonna talk about
business.
Later.
Start
a business.
Exactly.
Get you an app.
Right.
Figure it out.
What I don't want is seeing more 30-year-old rappers. Niggas that graduated. Well, I dropped out. But niggas that graduated with me.
I graduated.
Anybody class of 07, hang it up.
Jesus Christ.
Hang it the fuck up.
Us Ryans go to college.
Hey, guys, I didn't get a chance to go to college.
I didn't get a chance to go to college.
You always have a chance, though. You see
I know, I
got to
go back.
You
I gotta go back. First of all, I dropped out of free school. If you ever paid me. Yeah, I was fucked up at free school.
I'm still paying it back.
But,
yo.
You know,
look, it looks good.
Look, I tell niggas right now, my business plan works. You niggas are paying somebody. I dropped out free. All I had to do was pay my debt to society.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Work with you.
That was something different. That was something
different. All right.
So let's talk about this, the creation of this first album.
The creation
because
of
you,
Ryan Legend.
Ryan
Legend.
Self-name.
Because everything up to that point, you're helping everybody else push their narrative, push their dream.
Mm-hmm.
So now how do you... Because obviously, as a great producer, just like Mac with being a great artist, being an excellent interviewer, like you got to think in the mind of the people you're working for, right?
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So now how do you get out of that mindset and think for our lads?
It was by default. I mean, seriously, being 100% writer, you're always writing records that could be your record.
Yeah.
So New Edition record could have been my record. Cassie, Me and You, honestly, there's a Ryan Leslie demo of that record. It definitely sounded way better on her. And the video was way better.
You could have seen the video.
Yeah.
Tell you this right now.
Exactly.
Okay, how many words you know?
Yeah.
For sure. How many Google searches you got?
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't have did that.
For sure.
It's a great video.
For sure.
It's a great video.
So I had a catalog already of records that I loved and I thought other people would love. And then I think there's a lot of reality on that album. And so, you know, Diamond Girl really was a record which was I was making that beat for Cassie. And that was that moment we were just in that transitional period where she just didn't show up at the studio. So I'm like, oh, this beat is fire, man. I'm gonna write some.
Yeah. Is any of that success any of those records was crazy? Any of those records was there any how do you say this? Was any of that salty motivation? Like, oh, bet you don't want to fuck with me?
Nah.
I'm going to make this and that.
None of anything that I ever do is ever motivated in that. I feel like that's also just like, it's a different kind of, there's a different kind of weight to expressing yourself in that way. And it works for some people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe like an Eminem or whoever else where it actually works for. But for me, I just was like, look, I just want to be as honest as possible. I wonder if we'll ever find out how it was supposed to be. That was just so real. It was New Year's Eve. I was in the studio. My sister was in the studio. And, you know, I was like, man, I thought this New Year's Eve was supposed to be
the one.
She wasn't there. So I was like, oh, that's a perfect course. I wonder if we'll ever find out how it was supposed to be. Or, you know, what would you do if I left you out of the blue? I mean, those records are so, when you listen even to just like.
It was real moments.
It's real. It's real. And so, honestly, you know, it's about really just, it's cathartic, you know? So it's like.
Six.
That was a three, but it was a different kind of three, because he pronounced it in a way that he walked down.
He looked at us in our face and said, "Oh, where?"
He called it out.
Where I'm at?
Did he call it out?
He looked.
Steph Curry,
nigga. He was on the. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. Unfortunately, he was on the logo.
Oh,
that nigga launched from the logo.
Right,
Allen Houston.
No lean. He was.
Right.
So now we
I have a feeling it's only halftime.
Yeah. Yeah. The second quarter started. He's already at six.
Right.
This is crazy.
But because you have all that emotion and you want it to be expressed positively. So music is a great vehicle to get that expression out. And then also just the feeling that, okay, maybe what I'm writing will actually help someone else through this situation. And so the number of people that I've ever written to, now everybody can text me directly now. So some of the texts that I get are, hey, this song got me through this. This song got me through that. And then, you know, there's also.
You changed the game with that.
Nah.
You changed the game with that. With that text shit. Like, with just being able to text. Like, I remember the first time I heard him say, I'm like, this nigga about to let people just call him?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
I know it was going wild.
It was. Yeah. It was definitely going wild, especially right at the beginning. And after certain interviews, like this one, it'll probably go.
I remember the first time I heard it was you were at Combat Jack.
Mm.
You was on Rest in Peace, OG Reg.
Yeah.
You was at Combat Jack, and I think it was like Black Mozart.
Yeah.
He was talking about, and then I said, this nigga's crazy. He's not about to.
Yeah.
Not a text number.
No, for real.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
I never forget. It was probably 2 days later. My man was like, "Yo, you listen to Combat Jack shit?" I said, "Yeah." He was like, "Bro, I'm about to text that nigga Ryan Leslie my shit right now."
Yeah.
I said, you know how old he is, right? He's 30, man.
He's 30. He's
Ryan
30.
Leslie never answered.
Yeah, that's
he's 30.
Yeah. I had to write.
Steve, I know you listening.
I had to write about that. I had to write about that. I said, literally, my opinion means very little to your success as a musician. So I could either like your record, I could dislike your record. I could even buy your record. I could buy 100 copies of your record. That's only such a small part of what it really takes to be successful as a musician. So for me, the way I could be most helpful, send me your record, but send it with a business plan. And then I could tell you based on your, because music's subjective. It has nothing to do with the quality of your music. That's why so many people will hate from the sidelines and be like, yo, he's not even hot. He's doing well.
He's doing very well, but you can't say anything about
it. Yeah, exactly.
Business plan.
And so for me, I'm more interested in look, whatever your dream is, whatever it is that you really want to do, wherever it is that you want to go, however you want to make an impact in life, however much money you want to make, let me help to advise you on that. Let me look at your business plan or lack thereof. Let me put you in the right direction.
We're here.
Yeah, we are here.
You want to help us?
Absolutely.
Hey,
I got a business plan for you.
He got a business plan. We got the deck.
We got a business plan.
Yeah, we got a live show next. It already happened. Yeah. But we want to get in the DeLorean and come see how it went. We come back live show and see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got a few words.
Yeah.
You know, six maybe between us.
So you're speaking about business plan. So I already know that you had a business plan for the first album. Explain to us, walk us through the business plan of that first project, because I already know it was crazy.
Your format was
great. So I really got to give it up to just being open and receptive to having great people around you. And I would say that if you look at all the greatest impacts that have ever happened in the history of technology, or whether it's industrial age or whatever's going to happen even in cannabis now, it's about finding that person who's a visionary, and the person who's a visionary having great people around them that are going to give them great ideas, and allow the person who's leading to have the discernment to pick which great ideas are the most timely to be correlated to the success that you want to achieve. So I really got to give up a lot of that early Ryan Leslie success to a young brother by the name of Shiv Pandya. And Shiv was at Rutgers at the time, and it reached out either via email. And I think I had always had, like, even back in Blackberries and two-way pagers and Sidekicks, I had one of those on my website. I was like, yo, put your information in. I didn't have a full texting platform, but I was interested in receiving as much as the universe was interested in giving me. And so I wanted to have an open door at all times for all the greatest ideas. And so Shiv, being such a, and shout out to Shiv, now he works very closely with Steven Victor and Pusha T.
Yeah.
And super smart. I mean, one of the smartest kids that ever reached out. And he said, look, Ryan, you're a person that is rooted in the internet. You've already started to build on these early social platforms. Why don't we start to take a look at that data and see where the audience is, as opposed to trying to force your way into an audience that, or a place that already may be saturated. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, at that time, I think, you know, especially from R&B, you were starting to see the shift, which was really that shift to like the Young Money, Akon. It was kind of that, were they rapping, were they singing, et cetera. And so R&B, even if you wanted to get on festivals, et cetera, they weren't really necessary. It was not a Frank Ocean, headlining Coachella time.
It was a minute. Yeah. It was a minute before,
And so what Shiv was saying is like, hey, let's go into discussion boards. Let's go into chat rooms. Let's go into places where music is being exchanged and see where the people are who are actually commenting on your music. And we started to see that a lot of the activity and feedback was coming from Europe. And he said, look, the way to get to folks in Europe is they still have a great affinity for vinyl records. So let's press up some vinyls and let's start to distribute them to some of the core mix show and club DJs out in Europe. And then what we're going to do that's going to differentiate you from all the folks that are actually going out and touring is, instead of kind of feeling like you're God's gift to whoever's performing out there and just doing your records over a track with a DJ, let's spend the money. Let's do a band. And for every U.S. artist that goes out there and only does a half hour show, you go out there and do a 90-minute show with the band and actually be as personable as possible, learn a little bit of the language, etc. And so once we found that that was an ingenious way of kind of circumventing what the marketing plan for the United States.
We're at seven. That was a calm, fast break. Euro step one, two. Bang.
That's me.
I'm
just on his team. I'm just like the. You don't even got to pass me the ball. I'm just
Yo, look at this.
I'm here.
We good.
Just leave it alone.
We good.
I'm worried about my players. We are okay on this.
Okay, so this one is a little closer to home for me. Naturally, it would be a little closer to home. Episode 129, Mind Over Matters, with my boy Pascal Mikel. We got a chance for the first time on the podcast to really talk about where we were, where we are, mentally, you know, with our own mental health journeys. And hearing from him, and even, you know, hearing from me for the first time, where I was, where I've grown from, it was a lot. And I think, I don't even think Mouse was ready or prepared for it. But yeah, this was one. So here it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in, man. You know, 3 years is a crazy time, but we have more coming on the horizon. We have so much more for you guys. Actually, we got a little something up our sleeves after these essential episodes are up. So we thank you. We love you. Make sure that you guys are subscribing. Make sure that you guys are liking, giving us the 5 stars. You know, we need that validation, and we want to show these people how much more we want to give you guys. And you know, that every little bit helps. So we appreciate you, and we'll see you next season.
Yeah, I went to elementary school. I lived in Canarsie, grew up in Flatbush and Canarsie. My parents, like, they thought my school was supposed to be like South Shore and
okay.
stuff like that. So my parents thought they were not safe, so they sent me to school across Brooklyn. So I went to a school in a neighborhood called Garrison Beach.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever seen Everybody Hates Chris,
yeah,
that neighborhood yep. is Brooklyn Beach. It's mm-hmm. really Garrison Beach. So like on the show, it's like, you know, playful and stuff, whatever, but it's really, really racist there. You know, and I was like one of the few black people there too. So I got bullied from first grade.
Man, Haitian as well.
Yeah, I'm also Haitian. My parents are very, very Haitian. So
I was about to say, your name is Pascal. Yeah.
My last name is Michelle. Well, you know, so
exactly.
Well, listen, I know a lot of black ass Carlos.
Hey.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, name was Juanita. Blackest motherfucker from Alabama you'll ever meet. Ain't a 25 around.
I mean,
not a Roscoe Poya around.
I mean, we all came from the same place, champ.
That's y'all Dominicans love saying that. The Spanish niggas love saying
that. Hey, listen, that transatlantic slave trade.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, Pat. See, he's starting to shit.
Yeah, so I went to school in Garrison Beach, and for me, it was not a pleasant experience. Like, I was getting chased by, you know, white kids that I didn't know. It was relentless, like, my entire, like, childhood. Whenever my parents would come to the school, nobody ever saw anything, nobody ever said anything. And finally, in seventh grade, I got beat up, like, really, really bad, and I had to get pulled out to school.
You know, white kids?
Yeah, by white kids. Like, I was in seventh grade, like, the entire, like, all the boys in the eighth grade, like, they organized me to get jumped, and that was, like, the day, like the teachers, the principal, like, nobody could deny what was happening. I don't even know what happened. Like, I just, that was the last day I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from there, I always, like, knew something wasn't right. It's not the first time I've had suicidal thoughts. I've had them mm-hmm. forever, which is what was eye-opening to me when I actually started therapy. I was like, oh, everybody doesn't think these things, you know. So, like,
if you don't mind,
yeah.
When you say suicidal thoughts, had these thoughts, what? Mm. And the reason I asked, one, obviously, it's the journalist, and you know, you want to get the understanding, but also just to help the people at home who may be dealing with a young kid, or even maybe hearing this, and it's like a mirror, and it's like, okay, well, maybe, you know. So when you say suicidal thoughts, as best as you can, yeah. What do you mean? Like, what were the type of thoughts? Like, harming yourself, like, oh. Cut or nick myself, or like, I don't want to be here anymore, or, you know, like, what did you mean?
I mean, for me, it's on a spectrum. Like, generally, like, with depression, it's like your brain attacking yourself. So when it's really extreme, it's like, you know, you want to get rid of yourself. And it's not like, you're not really thinking of it in terms of, like, I don't want to see, I don't want to be, like, I don't want to live no more. It's like so painful in your head that, like, your body feels like the only option to get it to stop is, like,
to stop.
To stop. Yeah, to stop.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And at the very, very least, like, on the other end of the spectrum, it may just look like, you know, me thinking I'm not good enough to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's a spectrum, man. Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah.
I get it.
So you get pulled out of school seventh grade.
Yeah, I got pulled out of school.
And you're having these thoughts at times.
Yeah. But also throughout my entire childhood, up until the time I started therapy in 2018, I had heart palpitations every single day and panic attacks like every week of my life.
And had no idea that they were
connected.
What were they? Not what were they. You just said what they were. But at the time, and I could be wrong, but at the time you're in Brooklyn, first generation Haitian, well, you're a first generation Haitian. Yeah, so yeah. Haitian immigrant parents. Mm. traditional, what are they attributing? What are they calling this? What does this look like?
I mean, I was just being dramatic. Like, because like the thing for me is like I would wake up, like I still have like this bad habit of like always checking my pulse, you know, because I always would think my heart was gonna stop because I always had heart palpitations, you know. So like when I was a kid, like I'll just wake up screaming, like go to my parents' room, like still screaming. They'll take me to the hospital, probably Brookdale. They'll hook me up to your EKG, say nothing was wrong.
That's dramatic in itself, just having to go to Brookdale.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was born there too.
Damn it, that's where it started. Sorry.
And that's where I actually started love therapy after I got hospitalized.
Wow.
Yeah, so it came full circle for me. But, you know, it's never really easy, but you just really got to just be resilient. Like, you know, once you see something wrong, you just got to, like, lean into it. Like, no matter how painful it's going to be, you know.
Mm. So you're having these heart palpitations, you're having these panic attacks. Obviously, you know, we're around the same age. We're all millennials. So obviously there's no representation. There's no, you know, black people are not deemed depression. Like, that's not what we're called. It's not called depression. It's called, like you said, being dramatic or acting crazy.
Acting crazy.
There's no spaces made. So you're having to still maturate.
I even had somebody be like, oh no, you're just sad, don't worry about it, it's a day. You'll be all right.
Somebody told you that?
Yeah.
You've dealt with depression?
Absolutely. 200%.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
It's been going around.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Obviously not making it about me, but
yeah,
in that moment I felt like a bad friend.
I don't.
Like, I felt like this is somebody I call my brother. This is somebody I talk to. I'm the god. I'm the godfather to his child. Like, I didn't know that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's why I started therapy.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. So, like I was saying, so you have to. So now you're maturating in the late night. Well, no, you're maturating in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in Brooklyn, New York, it's obviously not gentrified yet. It's not.
Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is Brooklyn.
This is old Brooklyn.
And so you're having to maturate. You're having to deal with girls. You're having to deal with all these new feelings that come with just being us. Okay. Wow. I'm going to say it, and I know it's wrong, but it's the only words I have. These feelings and things and hormones that come along with just normal childhood maturation.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I shouldn't have said normal, but I couldn't think of anything else.
There we go.
But like normal maturation was, you know, puberty, girls, oh, my body looks weird, my voice sounds different. You got to deal with all this, but then you still have this damn near debilitating.
But that's the thing. I don't know anybody whose life was like mine. Like, anybody.
Elaborate a bit.
I grew up a first generation Haitian, so my home is Haitian. You know, I go to school with racist white kids, and you know, white kids who probably aren't racist, but Courtney, they see me as a black man.
He's fine. Okay.
They see me just as a black man. Yeah. So like throughout my entire child, like in elementary school, they were making black jokes, like black American jokes, soul food jokes. I don't eat soul food.
You're about to say, and they don't even connect to you.
You love fried chicken. crunchy rice.
But seriously, it's like, when I went to college in Old Westbury, like.
Shout out to Old West.
Yeah.
That was I didn't go there, but shout out to Old West. A lot of people went there.
Yeah. But that's where I like found myself. That was like my first time I was around black people, like, or like every day. You know, I never had that experience. And one of my best friends, Sean, his family owned Sylvia's. He would bring food every weekend. I was just like, what is this? And like, he would like explain soul food to me, and like I would eat it every week. And I would just, when he would like tell me foods, I'd be like,
Quick question, how much weight did you gain?
Oh, I was really skinny. I mean, that's the problem I have now, you know. But at the time, it was just
keeping
like
the weight
I used to just be like, I used to realize like they were saying racist things to me, like. As a kid, I never heard of collard greens. Like, the next time I heard of it was in college, you know? So like, as far as maturation, it was really hard for me because like, I didn't have a voice because it's like, I am Haitian, so they care about results.
Yep.
You know, so.
Your parents.
Okay. So I'm getting bullied. I can't concentrate in school. And if you have ADHD, I got diagnosed last November. You know, so and I had it as a kid. So like I'm doing bad in school because I'm getting bullied, and I'm going home and I'm getting beat up, you know, because I'm not doing well in school. So I developed this thing where I just stopped speaking. Like I'm just, because it's pointless. You know, there's no point of saying anything. Nothing's going to happen when I go home. You know, so then that happened. So like when it came to like maturing as far as women, like I didn't, you know, I didn't run around like bagging girls and like all that stuff. I went to school with white kids who thought I was ugly, you know, so I didn't. And I know I'm not an ugly person, you know, but I didn't grow up.
Girl, talk your shit. I'm fine.
No, but I'm not. Like, I know I'm a handsome guy. And it's like, but that came with black women approaching me, like, because I didn't understand.
So, but you're living in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You're living in Canarsie.
Mm-hmm.
Black people all around.
No, no. When I was in Canarsie in 97, we were the first black family on our block. And then.
You like, said you got, okay. Yeah, I didn't listen. Then, you said you got there in 97. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started to leave. And then little by little, but I'm also very Haitian. So my dad, his approach was like, he would be like, I don't send you here to make friends. I send you here to go to school. So that was like, I didn't get to go on my block. Like, you know, my sister, Sarah. Like,
yeah, yeah, I love Sarah.
Sarah's outgoing.
Yeah, you know, super outgoing.
So she was the one who was going in the neighborhood and doing stuff. Yeah. I knew white kids.
Sarah, so, little backstory. So Sarah is a part of my first appearance on VH1 anything.
Oh, okay.
Shout to Sarah and Heather Haynes. So they booked me for that first VH1 thing I did with it was me, Tax, and Cardi.
That's crazy.
So that shit's crazy. So yeah, shout to Sarah.
Yeah, so she was the outgoing one. I wasn't really. High school, I went to Severian.
Okay.
All boys Catholic high school, Bay Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, you know, as white, you know, but, you know, those groups of black kids who came from Flatbush here, that. So I was really comfortable. I didn't have issues in high school. But when it came to, like, women, like, I tried to talk to one girl. Like, I saw her on the bus, asked her out. She was just like, you know, you're cute. I would date you if you were taller, and that was it. I just never tried again. Like, I was like,
these fucking
goddamn high shame.
But then I didn't have, like, anybody to talk to and, like, you know, compare with. Like, everybody was outgoing and doing their own thing, you know, so I was... I don't know, playing Pokemon Red,
which was a great place to put your efforts. A great fucking place to put your efforts.
Who'd you start with?
Always Charmander.
Come on, man. That's a real nigga right there.
Real fucking nigga right here. And the real ones know you go get the link, and so you can trade with everybody else. So you end up with all three. I would keep the Charmander. I kept my Charmander. I wouldn't let him evolve. Maybe that says a lot about me.
It does.
That wouldn't let
it people. Definitely does.
don't let people
grow.
But that nigga was a level 100. That nigga's
a level 100 Charmander.
That nigga busting everybody ass. Y'all ain't want that smoke.
Son, the nigga Ember hit you like, it's super effective.
Listen, I wanted destruction. Like, Pikachu wasn't doing that.
At all.
When that fire hit, you know, pow, I need the screen to shake.
Blastoise not
fucking with level. You nigga, you see me with a level 90 Charmander, get low.
Get low.
Get low. hold on. This whole thing calling me. Hold on. Yo, Hov. Yo, you on the Guys Next Door podcast.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's Max.
Yeah, what's going on?
That's Max saying what up.
Hey, what's going on? What's up, Max? What's good, my nigga?
What's going on, Hope?
So on an earlier episode, we was talking about, I forgot what we was talking about, but you came up and when you called me over the pandemic and you kind of reignited my fire. You was like, yo, you've been kind of quiet. What you been up to? And I was like, I've been doing everything. But we started talking about your course. So I was trying to call you so you could let the people know about the course and before I ruined it. So go ahead, let the people know about the course that you're doing, the music business course, and how they could become a part of it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate y'all, good brothers. Well, basically, I did a class at Kingsborough College that was only for the students that went to the class, and I was teaching them, like, you know, giving them grades and doing papers, like real lessons.
Professor Hove.
Yeah, exactly, Professor Hove. So after that was over, my direct report was like, man, this class was really a success, and a lot of people reached out and wanted to be a part of this class, but, you know, it was only available for the students. So how would you feel about doing a class that's open to the public and, you know, you kind of have free reign, you could bring people in, whatever you want to do. So I said, man, that sounds dope. Like, so I grabbed up 10 people that I really respect and admire. the music business. And I said, what we're going to do is have it open for the public. Anybody can register. You call Kingsborough, you set it up. And, you know, every week we're going to have different people come and tell you their personal stories. You get to really, like, you know, hear firsthand success stories. Last week I had Wayno. Next week I'm going to have my lawyer. So it's going to be a same lawyer. Mm. I got Sycamore. I got Charlemagne. I got a bunch of people that's really, like, you know, they
clearly not me and you, Matt.
I didn't hear my name at all, but it's fine.
Nope. Guess we got a lot more to do.
We got one more work to do.
Very successful class has been so far, so I'm going to do another one, and I would love to have you two brothers involved. Mac, Mr. Mac Wilds, if he has any time when he's not on Broadway, he can come.
Wow.
Touring the country and, you know, trap karaoke. We can do that as well, but I'd love to have both of you brothers. Y'all are my real friends.
That's a fact.
Have y'all involved in anything I do.
That's
that
a
is
fact.
A fact. That
we
is
appreciate
a fact.
You, Hov. We're gonna get back to the episode, but like I said, I didn't want to stumble. Like, it was a big thing, and I want to make sure I called. I was like, let him tell.
Yeah, exactly.
What this shit is, because I don't want to fuck it up and people be trying to enroll in a course that ain't there.
Yeah. Just hit up Kingsborough. So I'm going to sign up for the Hov Van Hilton Business of Music class. We're in week 4. We're going for 6 more weeks, and then I'm gonna go again to do another 10 weeks. I'm gonna have the old ladies edition. Then I'm gonna have the edition with, you know. Yeah, guys.
All right.
There we go.
Can't wait. We'll talk to you soon, bro. All
right.
Bro.
All right, man.
Man, I love this space. Like, I do. I'm not going to hold it. Hey, I love this space.
Praise
we're
God.
In.
Praise God.
You know what I mean? It's
praise
a good
God.
Space to be in.
Yep.
Good space to be in. Yeah, we were talking about Charmander and my... and me not letting him evolve and that being...
That may be something that you need to unpack. That's a fact.
I don't like change. I don't like the aqua phase. Charmeleon had a dick on his head. We never talked about that.
Yo, what?
Charmeleon had just one dick.
Why?
Dick on the back of his head.
Why? He couldn't. It can't be a unicorn.
What the fuck was this?
It can't be a unicorn.
Wasn't a horn. It was just like a. It was an erect thing.
I can't.
It was
y'all.
Weird.
Jesus Christ.
The fuel is made.
Is what fuel is made. Yeah. In the dick. In the dick. It's on top of his fucking head. And like it was rough to get from Charmander to Charizard, so I was just, you know, I'll stay here.
Yeah, you gotta be at like level 32 or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
It was rough, so I would just rather.
Why I remember that
weak
don't
Charizard?
Ask.
A weak Charizard is not a good
a weak Charizard.
Yeah, a weak Charizard is garbage, dog.
So I just have a strong Charmander. No matter how you cut it, this nigga's fucking y'all up.
Man, I don't know. I don't know, son. I don't know. Anyway.
So you said, so the maturation, at least when it came to women, wasn't that tough.
It didn't come until college, for real.
I didn't really find myself until recently. Like, honestly, I didn't do
if you don't mind school. Me asking, how old are you?
I'm 35. I'll be
so
36
you've been,
next month.
So this is, the reason I asked, for the people at home that's listening, it's not a quick fix.
No, but... can be something that doesn't take that long, you know, if you pay attention.
That's the thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, for me, it's like, it could have took one panic attack for them to refer me to a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know it was a panic attack.
I went to the hospital, like, dozens of times. They've never said it was anything mental health. They told me I had a heart condition, and this is just, I wasn't allowed to do sports in high school, because they said that I might go into cardiac arrest. So I didn't do any sports. I had to stop doing track. Because I just kept having heart palpitation. I have not had a heart palpitation since I started antidepressants in 2018.
Dog.
I haven't had a panic attack either.
Dog.
Right there covers so much that we talk about on this podcast and we talk about just in general, right? Advocacy. Having somebody, it's so important to have somebody there that says, no, he's black, but he's a human, so... he can be susceptible to all the things that white people are susceptible to. Like, you can't just write them off. You know, making a space where I guess the people at home are able to recognize these things and these triggers and these, I don't even know what the word is, but like, ugh.
I mean, the sad thing is, like, for black men and, you know, black women, like, the only time that it's like a reactive approach, like, they'll acknowledge our mental health when we're dead.
Yep, literally.
When we're in jail or when we're in hospital, like, we actually do something.
And barely in jail. In jail, it's like, oh, yeah.
You're You already did.
Yeah.
I have a question. What are, as somebody who has dealt with depression, a lot of times my my therapist would tell me to kind of like use or kind of like lean into other things. It doesn't solve it, mm-hmm. but it's things that kind of help. Like for me, going to the gym became my shit. And it's like on some like, all right, cool. I got to go to the gym. If I don't go to the gym, it's so crazy now where it's weird. If there's days that I'm like, I got to go to the gym this day and I don't go, I feel off. Yep. So do you have any of those, anything, those things that you lean on, you know, for those like, and what are those things?
For years, honestly, it was just the gym. Like when I knew that something was wrong, I just went to the gym. That's where I spent all my time. I was there where it was the Patica Club, Pacplex. I used to stay there 3-4 hours a day. Now, like the way I am now, like, you know, because you're not going to like solve everything. It's not going to be perfect, mm-hmm. you know. But whenever I realize like I'm not doing well, I always realize I haven't been to the gym in a minute.
Mm.
Like that's the first thing I always realize.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like, I mean, most recently, like I've been making progress last year because of my ADHD diagnosis and honestly, my mom, like, because I had a really bad December last year and my mom would just be like, you know, tell me to pray. And you know, I have this weird relationship with God and I've been distant for a minute, but like then it just really clicked because like, you know, with ADHD, it's, you know, because my doctor, he was just like, oh, you know, I'm going to put you on this new medication. It's going to help you with your concentration, you know, but I didn't know that like depression, like is heavily related in concentration,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like when it comes to like issues, like in relationships and friendships, it's like when those emotions stay with you, like stuff that happened a long time ago, like you're not supposed to carry that stuff with you. Like,
yeah.
Like people who hold grudges, like that's a depressive symptom. Like you're not supposed to, like.
All right.
It is. No, seriously, it is.
It's not lying.
So, like, but that's what it means to like.
I'm gonna hold a fucking grudge. Yeah. Whatever the fuck that means. You do wrong by me, motherfucker.
But if you're unable, like if you can't let go of it, like if you're choosing to hold one, that's one thing. Like if you can't let go of it, mm-hmm. like that's another thing because it's distracting you.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to like focus on what's in front of you, your kids, your partner, whatever. Like you shouldn't be like arguing about like stuff that happened 2 years ago. That's a concentration issue. Like mm-hmm. you should focus on today. You know, so for me, like the thing I lean on the most is just, you know, trying to be present. Like it's very important to me to be present. I had to like fix my relationship with my phone because like my phone was really like, because it was like ruining my day. Like it was like I'd wake up fine and. You know,
yo, and I'm only laughing phone. Because dog, you, niggas don't understand, yo. That shit,
I don't get it.
No, it's. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. All right. Let's say you wake up. You wake up in a good mood. You took your phone. Black man just got murdered in the street, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go to work. And like, it just takes.
You wear day. That,
huh?
You like so you see that, and maybe that's.
I mean, for me, it's. Those hit me hard because I've been dealing with racism since I was 5.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So with it's a trigger. Especially like last year. Because like last year,
with all the marches,
the Trump stuff, like I wanted Trump to be gone because like all the kids I went to school kept reaching out to me like all year. Like the kid who like organized me getting jumped, he reached out to me. And like, I remember I posted like the story. I was like, this is why I left the school. Because everyone's like, why did you leave? And I posted. I was like, this is what happened. I got beat up. Stalls were down. I was knocked out for a couple of hours. And that kid who, like, did it to me, like, he was right real under it. He was just like, well, he's not a kid. He's 36 now. He was like, oh, I feel bad that happened to you. Like,
so let me knock you out.
No, but he didn't remember.
He said what?
He didn't remember.
No, that's what I would say.
He didn't remember. He was just like.
But he doesn't remember doing it?
He doesn't remember doing it. He was just like, I remember going to the bathroom that day. I remember seeing the stalls on the door. And that was it. He's like, I'm sorry that happened to you. I was like, you're the one who did it. You know? But I didn't want to, like, drag it. Like, I'm over it. But. Like,
if you don't want to be over, let me know. And I can.
That's fine.
You sure?
Yeah. Okay. I like.
About to say, listen, we got some people who know some people who could get some
I'm with
stuff
you.
Handled.
I don't. What I said earlier, I hold a grudge.
I mean, I'll take an apology. Like, I don't want to carry shit with me. I don't move on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and like,
whew.
You are like a product of your environment. The parents there, they're not great people, you know, so. I mean, I wanted that to stop because it was like kids who never did anything to me reaching out to make sure. They didn't do anything. Other kids would just tell me that they love me. I'm amazing. I'm incredible. Why am I incredible? Like, just, you know, throwing compliments, and then, you know, people like him, you know, and he just disappeared, you know. But
maybe that's the reason why. What? When last episode we were talking about how people can, how susceptible we are to taking bad news, but how we aren't as susceptible to taking good news or good graces or praise. And it may be because we're so used to people being fake about it or being performative about it.
So, funny story, like earlier this year, I was working at a startup for a friend.
Getting some money. Getting a lot of money.
So making bread.
Startups always mean a lot of money.
This kid, this kid named Lenny, and I played poker with him a few times, white guy, work with him. But like, he kept like telling me like, oh, you need to be like, I'm coming with this opportunity. I wasn't working. He was like, I know you're not working. I was like, oh man, I appreciate it. But he kept like saying, oh, you should be grateful. He kept saying that to me. I'm like, why do I need to be grateful? And he gave me like his rate, which is like, it wasn't like a terrible, but I'm like, that's not my rate. Like, I know, even though I'm not working, I know my worth, you know? So like, whatever happened, like, he didn't want to pay me the way he agreed upon. I'm like, all right, cool. This was your idea. I'm out. Like, you know, it's just no harm, no foul. He was just like, if you don't return to work computer by tomorrow, I'm gonna have the police come to your house and take it off of your body. It's white guy. I'm like, huh. Okay. Cool. And he's like a white Black Lives Matter advocate, you know. I've always been kind, never been anything funny. Like, he ended up giving the money. Like, I was just like, look, I'm like, I go viral on Twitter all the time with my daughter. I'm like, I could just tweet. I just tweet something, like, it'll have, like, people attack your investors. And, like, as soon as I said that, he gave me my money, like, immediately. You know, but that, like, that goes to show that's, like, you don't know what, like, what people are thinking. Like, they can come, like, all supportive and nice and, like, just look at you like, okay, you're a problem and I know how to get rid of you. Because, like, I wrote Cuomo about it. Because I was like, you fund, like, these startup companies.
You should have sent a woman. You should have
Jesus, I hate you. Why?
It would have never got resolved.
Why?
Oh, would have got resolved.
Something would have got resolved.
If you would have pinned it on a woman like right above the titty, you'd have been like, what's this?
Nah, but yeah, I mean, that it just makes things more difficult. For me, it's like I've been carrying like this like racist stuff for so long. Like, so my trigger is,
I get I don't understand it. And I've heard Max say that before. And, like, if you're a Max friend for any time longer than 10 minutes, you're going to realize, like, trying to contact him via phone.
Yeah, it's just, it's
that is
terrible.
That's the probably the most trigger. It is. That's the triggering part of my It's like, all right, I need to talk to Mac at 12, so I should probably text him at 8 tomorrow night.
I had to get a better relationship with my phone, and I'm still learning that.
Right.
I'm still learning. I'm still trying to get even better with it, because we're in the information age. So the information comes at us literally at the speed of light. Whatever the things that you want to see or the things that you don't want to see will be on your phone as soon as you open this bitch. It's right there, right? Whether it's a text message from somebody that you don't want to talk to, if it's a tweet that it just doesn't sit right with your soul, if it's the fucking Instagram seeing somebody flexing and you're not in the right place and it's just like, ah, why am I not there? Then you start beating yourself, bro. You have to learn a different culture with your own phone. Like, you have to treat it like it's a person. You have to have a better relationship with your phone. It's fucking nuts,
that
bro.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Yep.
Real shit.
I don't know. I never had that issue. Like, I don't know. Like, when I don't, like, I have no problem setting boundaries when it comes to that fucking phone. I got, at this point, how many unanswered text messages I got?
I mean, you are Mouse Jones.
336.
I mean, you may not have an issue, but the people around you may.
That's what,
you
know, I'm saying.
It's like, it was designed to like keep you close to people far away, but it does the opposite.
Yeah, that and maybe that's why I'm so, like, I never understand it. And I couldn't be a part of the problem, because I'd be like, you know, when I hear somebody say, like, usually when I hear somebody say that, I'd be like, but I remember the first time Max said it, and I was like, bitch, niggas, like, just put the phone down. Like, what the fuck? Or how you triggered by something? Like, I remember I used to always say, like, nothing can piss me off about something that I can turn off. Like, nothing on this phone can piss me off because I can turn it off.
Yes.
If I take, if I scroll up and if I swipe out, nothing, nothing on Twitter is bothering me because it don't exist.
But I think that's the thing, right? It's the, that initial, once you see it, you can't unsee it. I wish I could just fucking delete the shit out of my head. But once I seen it, then I turn it off. Then it's in my head the whole time. Like, damn, why the fuck?
Has that added to your depression or?
Oh yeah, it always does. It always.
Like somebody saying something mean about a project or something.
The funniest thing is that when it comes to projects and all of that stuff, I've been in this business since I was a kid. So I automatically expect somebody to have a judgment about it, whether good or bad. Mm-hmm. It's for me, and this is speaking more candidly, it's when people speak about where I am in my career, what I should be doing,
kind of what or start last episode.
Yeah, or start comparing me to this person or that person, or oh, you should be.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.